Sunland County Water District will come to order on February the 12th. And on tab number one, consent agreement, anybody look at it?
Make a motion to approve this consent agenda as printed.
Second.
Got a motion and second to approve the consent agreement. Further comment? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it, we'll go to tab two. Mr. Cody.
Well, if I'm the only reason you had to get out this morning, I apologize. It was a little chilly, wasn't it?
Hey. No, we had to be out anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna.
We're glad.
Thank you. I enjoy being here. Enjoy working for y'all. I can say this, I wasn't gonna say this, but thinking back, and I've been doing this for a while, this operation probably is the best run operation that I've been around. I'm talking about the way you do things. Kim, well, it starts with Kevin, Kim, then gets to Judy, then to me, and then Gerald. We have people that do a very good job, and I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about the other people that get it to me, which makes it easier for me. And then I make it a lot easier for the auditor. But it all starts with y'all because y'all set everybody in position to do this. And I appreciate people that do things right, because I see a lot of people that don't do things right. Makes my job harder. Okay, let's get to the financial statements. I'm gonna hit some highlights. Okay, on page 16, then we can also look at page 44. This is a highlight of the statement of revenue expenditures and change in fund balance. Under fund accounting, you do know you have two sets of financial statements. Fund accounting and then government-wide accounting. Under the fund accounting on the general fund on page 16, our operating revenues exceeded our expenditures by $882,000. Well, one of those reasons is because we had a large collection of taxes because of the settlement with TXU. Basically, revenue was up. The only expenditures that was really up on this one, and that's part of your ongoing process, is capital outlays, which is the water line extensions. And so as you get bigger, you're always going to have those expenditures until you stop growing. So, but you're continuing to grow, so those expenditures are there. Water revenue increased by about $20,000, which means more people added to the line or to the system. Investment earnings increased $33,000. We had a grant revenue of $112,933, which was to replace some expenditures on the...
Cleaning up at the river.
At the river.
Right.
The channel.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at page 44. If you ever want to see, page 44 gives you a five-year comparison, 13 through 17, with next year when you have 18 on there, 13 drops off. But it shows you how the property revenue is, well, on your tax revenue and all your other revenue and your expenditures change over 5 years. Let's go back to page 14. And I'm sure you don't want me to go through this page by page, do you? But page 14 is your balance sheet under the fund statement. You had $8.9 million in assets, and this doesn't include your capital assets. It doesn't include your plant. It doesn't include your long-term debt. This is fund accounting. It doesn't include those two. So you have a very strong, you can look up there, you have a very strong cash position, which is good. Let's flip over to pages 12 and 13, which is the government-wide. And the two differences between the funds I've told you before, but
The government line is what, full accrual, just like a business. Modified accrual is not like a business because it doesn't show the debt and doesn't show the capital assets. But I'm having a hard time in page 12. My page is doing its turn. So,
right there for 13.
I know it, but I can't get there. I don't know why. It's my fingers. Okay, page 12 and 13. Under the full accrual method, we had an increase in that position of, if you look on page 13, of $819,000. And that's under the full accrual method. And that's after depreciation of, well, see me, if I can add, about $1,000,004. You know, you have a large amount of money spent on assets. You depreciate them over 50 years. Even if it's over 50 years, 20 to 50 years, most of them, your plant here, that's still a large chunk of depreciation. It's not cash going out, but it's depreciation. First, like I said, the biggest expenditure is depreciation, $1.4 million. Parks and Rec, this is net position on page 11. Which is basically the book value of this plant, down at the bottom, $56.4 million. So basically you have a strong cash position, you have wonderful assets here that provide water and sewer for the cities of city of Glen Rose and the county of Somerville. Okay. Lee and me have had discussions about the pension the last couple of years, haven't we?
Yes.
Let's look at pension for a minute.
Page what?
Page 26. Yeah, a lot of this information on the pension is in your, basically, except where you write the checks to the retirement system, it shows up on the fund account. This shows up on the government wide. We get this from the actual RAR, and basically we just put the information that he gives us. In the last 2 years, we've had liabilities in excess of the net pension asset, haven't we?
That's right.
And I told you it would change at some time.
It has.
And the date's wrong there, but December 31st, 2017, we had a net pension asset of $3,676. And it probably changed the next day.
Right.
That's just the way that it works. So is there any questions or comments?
Basically we're back to 100% funded now.
Just about, yes.
Yeah, I mean, out of 980,000, they're projecting a $3,700 deficit, which could change in 1 week's time after the printed.
That's correct.
Right.
And that's just the way the system works.
Right.
But you're a lot better off on your retirement than a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I've done schools. I'm phased out of the schools now. But, you know, the school has three. Y'all have yourself, and you have the employee, and then the water district. That's who contributes to your retirement.
Right.
Well, the teacher retirement has the school, the employee, and the state of Texas.
State.
Now, the three, which one do you think is behind on their contributions?
State.
Right. That's right. That's a problem. So what I'm telling you, y'all are in great shape. Now, I don't have any other presentations.
Mr. Cody, did you prepare this on it, or did Mr. Mayor?
Okay, here's the way this is. Here's how this works. The auditor cannot prepare the financial statements because of independence. The way we work that is I pick up the information. I do a lot of schedules and the auditor is not supposed to make adjusting to the books either. I make adjusting entries on what Judy gives me. I prepare the financial statements and I prepare them. What I try to do is I try to give him a perfect set of financial statements.
And then he does the audit procedure, he does the planning, has an audit program, he does the risk assessment. And he looks at, what's that?
Just a check and balance system.
Well, no, well, this has changed so much. This independence is a big problem with the state board. What I do is I prepare the financial statements for you. That is your responsibility. It's not the auditor's responsibility. When I started doing this years ago, auditors prepared the financial statements and did the audit. We can't do that anymore. Just like with Kevin's daughter and her business, Mr. Nelson and me cannot do anything for her because we're going to be independent because of our relationship with Kevin. It's independence is a sticky situation right now. But basically what I do is I take the information, I assemble everything, I do all the schedules, like the schedule of length of property tax receivable. All of the work papers are turned over to Mr. Nelson. And he audits what I do, he tests what I do, then he does his risk procedures, he does his the audit planning, and things like that. Basically, auditing has become a checklist and reviewing the financial statements, and you check to make sure that the disclosures are in there, the notes, and all that. It's not preparing the financial statements anymore. So that I prepare the financial statements. But I don't do the risk assessment. I do not do audit planning. I do not do any audit work. Well, I take that back. He treats me as an internal auditor, and that's in your engagement letter. So I do a little bit of it, but then he checks what I do. That's how we work. I'm sure that's not a very good explanation, but independence is a sticky, sticky situation.
Well, I know nothing's ever going to be wrong with it, but if something were to happen to be wrong with it, who's responsible?
Well, when he gives that opinion, he's responsible.
Okay.
But this
he signed the paper.
He signed the paper. But here's what I'm telling you, I'm responsible to you. If there was a problem and we couldn't issue an unqualified opinion, we wouldn't be doing this morning. We would have talked about this beforehand. An auditor, a good auditor, is not going to stick you with a modified or adverse opinion without your knowledge.
They've changed that so much over the years that it's hard for me to understand.
Well, this independence, that's the reason I don't audit anymore. Because we used to prepare the financial statements and we did the audit. But the state board can come down and it may be worse than dealing with the IRS, I don't know. So what I'm trying to do is we're trying to make sure that your auditor is independent.
But you're also saying that during the year, if you saw something wrong, you would flag it at that time.
Yes, sir.
Ever before it went to Mr. Nelson.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When I'm doing this stuff, when I'm looking at your financial statements during the month,
right.
When I get the monthly bill from you, yes, I will question something. I remember right. I've questioned a few times when all of a sudden we're into the year and we're way over budget on this line item. I have called you, haven't I, with mm-hmm. that. If right. something doesn't look right, I will call and right. check.
We appreciate it.
And also, but when I do these financial statements at year end, you should see the paperwork I generate.
Man.
And when I get this to Mr. Nelson, these numbers are not wrong. Man. Very seldom does Mr. Nelson have to call me back and say, we need to do this adjustment.
Great.
Because that's just the way I do things. I like to be perfect. Not always perfect. We have to change things. So that's how we work this. Independence is a very, well, I've started helping Mr. Nelson. He does this a couple of small cities, and it's even changed so much where I now prepare the financial statements for two small cities. He And I did a compilation for the Cleveland ISD Education Foundation. Well, I did a preparation of financial statement. I said, I cannot do a compilation, I cannot do a review, and I cannot do an audit once I prepare these financial statements. That's independence. I'm not independent. Of course, I have another problem with independence. One of the former board members that's really involved in it is Carolyn Cody. I'm related to Carolyn Cody, my sister-in-law. Independence is a... Mr. Nelson went to a seminar called The Rocky Road to Independence. It is rocky. There's a lot of pitfalls that we could fall into. So, I hope that answers your question.
Answer my question. It's pretty easy for us to approve an audit that looks as good as this one does on the paper.
Well, I'm going to take a little bit of credit how well it looks. I make sure this thing looks professional. Yeah. And I'm going to give Michelle Walker, who works for me, a lot of credit for making it look professional. We set that up, and Mr. Nelson also wants it to look professional. But he's not responsible. The only thing he's responsible for in there is those two letters that he signs. And those letters are based on these financial statements.
Well, Mr. Cody, you've been coming up here several years doing this and working on it, and we appreciate your efforts.
Well, don't tell me I'm old.
But it's on one of the alternatives.
So that's true. Yeah. Just keep on trucking, right? That's right. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And we do. We thank you.
Well, I try to give you the best effort I can.
But I think it does look professional, but why shouldn't it?
That's true. That's what we're supposed to do.
We hired you to do, and we appreciate what you do, and we appreciate you coming and the explanation. And
good work by the people that are working here too.
But that's where it all starts with y'all. It all starts with the board. It
starts with Kevin. And
no, it starts with you. It goes to Kevin, Kim, Judy, me, and then Mr. Nelson.
Well, are you ready for a motion, man?
If everybody's ready to quit, I'm ready for a motion.
I move that we accept the 2016-2017 annual audit prepared by Gerald Nelson and Mr. Cody for this past year.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. Any further comment, question? Whatever holds your peace. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Opposed.
No thank opposition.
You. Thank you.
I appreciate you working, y'all.
We appreciate your work.
Yeah. You tell Jeff how old I haven't seen him in a long time.
Well, I guess it's been too cold to play golf, hasn't
it? It has to be.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, here, also, he's got a lot of problems with Carol, and her health is really going
on. Sorry to hear that.
And, Kevin, we were just while you're there, as he said, he could have prepared this the way that it turned out if you had a handle it and sent him the numbers that would correlate.
Judy deserve most of the credit on that.
You did a good job hiring.
Well, here's
and I did do that.
And Mama did a good job training, maybe.
Well, here's what it is. This entity is very organized, and that's the key. An organization starts with the board. Then the board hires a good general manager, and Kevin, then he hires good people, and he gets things rolling. I was going to say this, we're kind of in a, I don't want to say a boring mode, but just an operation mode, because we haven't paid the debt off, but we've built everything. And now we're just operating.
It's not going to be long.
Okay.
About 11, 12 years, we'll be debt free.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I mean, we're halfway through.
That's right. You're doing
20 year debt, and we're getting close.
But what you did is you planned this out and you built this facility, which is very important, to have a source of water. You think if we,
do you think the gas shortages and all the stuff that we've had in the past is bad? Do you have a water shortage that's even worse?
No, absolutely.
So y'all have to take most of the credit for everything that happened. I'll shut up now.
You're so wrong on the water shortage. You know, I've been where that the water supply is little girls, 9, 10 years old, carry a 5-gallon jug on, balanced on their head that they picked up out of where the cows had been drinking in a rock and kind of hauled out and it caught water when it rained, and that was their water supply. I don't even know how they live, you know, so, yeah, man. We're blessed. Thank you. We'll sign the papers here a little bit later, and we'll go to tab 3. Stay warm.
I am. I'm going to stay with you because I got some information to
Share
with y'all.
After okay. Good. We're
Kim and Kevin.
Okay. On the election, Kevin.
Tab 3, this is our order calling for our general election, the district's general election. We have 3 spots up for re-election this year. Mr. Meath's spot, Kevin Morgan, and Maurice English, all of their terms are expiring, and all 3 of them have agreed to file for re-election, and I'm appreciative of that. Love having you guys, but I think sign-ups go through the end of this week, and if we don't have anybody sign up to run against any of the, if we don't have anybody sign up to run against any of the incumbents, then we'll next board meeting we'll be able to cancel the election. So we'll see what happens this week. But today is the date that we do have to have this at least call our election.
Make a motion to call election to make this.
Second.
Motion and second for calling election. I don't have to look at the state, I didn't.
It's May 5th election.
May 5th, okay. Any further comment? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. All right. Now we'll go to tab 4.
Tab 4 is a
cheap truck.
Yes, we. Our primary service vehicle, which is the F-450, a 2-ton, right? Ton and a half.
Yeah.
It's we've been using it since we started selling water. It's really the workhorse of our fleet. It's the one that's out there running every day, pulling the trailer, doing all the service work. It's time to replace it. I mean, you use them as like that. Piece of equipment gets used and they just get worn out. Mainly the toolbox on it is worn out, just opening and shutting every day and rattling around. John's taking bids from 3 different dealerships, Hill Country Ford down in Goldthwaite, Mike Brown over in Granbury, Techstar in Stephenville. And you can see they're all real close, but Mike Brown and Granbury ended up winning this one. I think it's the first one that they won. Hill Country's been getting most of our trucks, but this one's going to go to Mike Brown.
That's bed and all right there.
No, we'll have to put a bed on it. That's without a bed. That's just a pickup.
Will you just transfer the bed?
No, those beds by the time you get 4 or 5 years on, they're worn out. I mean, they're ready. Now, I tell you, rather than trade this one in or resell the old truck. Yeah, it got worn out to the point we had to put a new engine in it, and it's got a brand new engine in it. So the engine's good, the truck's worn out, and we've decided we're gonna put a flatbed on it and just use it as a haul truck. That way, our service truck's not pulling a trailer every day. We'll have another trailer with a new engine in it. I mean, we'll have another truck with a new engine in it to use as a haul truck, and we'll pull the backhoe around on it. It'll just stay hooked up to the backhoe. This service truck, like I say, it's pulling a trailer nearly every day. So whether they're at lunch or whether they're coming back to the office for
for parts. I mean, it's always pulling that trailer, but with this other one, it'll be good to...
Yeah, get more life out of it.
Yeah, we'll get more life out of this new truck to completely exhaust that old truck, just pulling with it, so...
John, what specifications met what your bid item was?
Yes, sir.
Truck, all of them met it?
Yes, sir.
John wrote up the specifications for that truck and he sent them to all three and he had them.
I was pretty sure of that.
Yeah, he had them bid them.
We got the same product and we bid.
Yes. I make a motion we give the pickup to Mike Brown and Spring.
Second.
We have a motion and second to take the bid of Mike Brown over for the F-450 replacement truck. Any further comment?
Make sure you get a radio on that thing.
Yes, sir. If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Motion passed. And we'll go to it.
Next agenda item is the non-exempt pay scale. We talked about this back in November. The county, when we first started out, the county had this. It was using this pay scale here. It's eight different scales by 18 different positions, and we found that it, rather than us generate our own pay scale just for a couple of employees when we were small. We just started using the county's pay scale, and we were plugging our employees into whatever grade we felt necessary. The county did a complete salary comparability study this year, and they changed their pay scale to this pay scale. It's 11 different annual scales by 15, so they completely changed it up, and they're having to go in and reevaluate all their employees and plug them into different spots. And we've got to the point where we've got such specialized guys like plant operators and distribution operators, and it's hard for us to take our positions and plug them into the county spots. And so I had asked y'all if we could do our own pay scale. And that's what you have in your packet is what I came up with on my own. I'm gonna grab one more thing while you're looking at that. Every couple of years, we're a member of the Texas Rural Water Association. Every couple of years, the Texas Rural Water Association does a salary comparability survey. They survey all of the water districts, as many that'll respond. They don't get all of them in the state, but they get as many as will respond. And it's districts that are comparable to us, to small rural water districts, and it's about as good it's a better salary comparability survey than I could do on my own, or probably better than what we could hire a consultant to do. So it's a pretty good source of getting a salary comparability study. And what I've done is I've gone in and I've looked at our positions. I can pretty easily take our positions and find what's comparable to them in their survey. And that's how I've generated this, using the ranges that they've come back with in their salary comparability survey. Now, a lot of these little water districts are very rural. They're out way out in West Texas, so I've used the upper range. I've gone from 50% to 90% for our ranges. I'm not, because we're already paying our guys. Our philosophy has been we pay our guys as good as we can, and we expect a lot out of them. And as a result, we have really good employees. I mean, we don't have anybody that's not top notch in what they're doing. And we try to pay on the upper end of what the scale is, and it's proved out by comparing our pay ranges to what I'm finding in this survey. Well, anyway, I'm proposing this new salary range, and it's like I say in the write up here, it's not giving anybody an increase. We're just taking what the people are paying. It may give them a little bit of a couple hundred dollar increase just to fit them into a pay raise, but you know, we're not giving anybody what I would say real raises or promotions as a result of this. We're just going on getting into our own scale. And then, you know, once I'll go in and I'll plug everybody in, all the hourly guys, into this pay scale. And then in June, is that one?
Yes.
In June is when we reevaluate everybody and all the new pay scales take effect.
This current scale, when you plug everybody in, are we going to be in the top 30% when you plug them in? Are they going to be in the, scattered across here? What I'm asking is are our guys going to fall in that 8, 9, 10 group?
No.
Okay, so when you have a list of where our guys are going to fall?
Yeah, let me grab it, I'll show you.
So we're not going to end up at the high end of it to begin with?
No.
Okay, great. Kevin, that's all I need. I don't even need to see them. I just want to make sure we weren't ending up loaded on the high end to where if we give a step raise, we don't even have it.
We've got one guy, Merced. Merced's been here since day one.
He's going up a 10?
He's at a 10 on the labor one position. So I mean, he's not ever going to get any more money. But
in that example, you could move him to labor two.
We could.
If there's something that compelled you to do that, and starting on that scale.
You know, he's as far as, for a guy that mows grass, he's as far as he can get.
I understand.
The only way he gets a raise is if you guys adopt a
2% cost of living.
A year from now or 2 years from now, y'all adopt a cost of living raise, and we adjust everything 2% based on the cost of living.
Right.
That's what we were doing with the county. The county, every year they'd look at a cost of living, and we were matched. Since we were on the county's pay schedule, we were kind of stuck with adopting whatever cost of living increase they adopted. So if they didn't adopt a cost of increase, well, then we couldn't do it. Otherwise, their pay scale changed and ours didn't.
And we got out of sync.
Right. And the other ones, everybody else is in either 2, 3, or 4.
Awesome. They fell. Awesome.
So they've got perfect. They've all got room to grow other than
perfect.
I talked to Kevin a little bit about this, and something you got to understand about this organization will never be labor employee top heavy. The most we would ever have is maybe one more person, even if we get fanned out through the entire county. Because I was asking him, I said, you know, if somebody calls for a water tap, are we 2 weeks behind, 3 weeks? No, it's a week.
Right.
You can't beat that deal.
No.
So we really don't need.
That's right.
To be top heavy.
We're much better off paying them well.
Yes.
And making them wait 2 weeks to get a meter instead of dividing that and having more employees where we can't pay them as well.
Right.
I think we're taking the right approach.
Yeah, and I think the evidence is, I think you take it. How many of you have heard a complaint?
Right. Yeah, it's going well.
Complaint?
It's going well.
I mean, we have a tax base that we can do this. Not that we've set, but it has been set because of what it taxed off, you know. So I think you just do it.
It's funny you say that.
Again, here.
Funny you say that. The TCEQ, we found out in our last inspection, TCEQ is requiring us to keep a complaint list now. So if you ever want to see the complaint list, Kim's got the complaint list. And it's pretty short. What have we got? One?
We've got two
complaints on there. One of them was lady, the water smelled bad in her kitchen sink, and we found out it was because she had some rotten food in her disposal.
We can give you a testimony. I'm still having trouble with my water. But you know what? I've had a lot of iron off that area of the county. I don't know anybody else, but we just got a lot of iron in the surface or the water, previous water, you know, wells. And every once in a while, all of a sudden, either you just flush the commode and it comes up red, or whether you just turn the faucet on and it goes red. And that's what my friend You say he got dirt in his water, you remember? No, it's that blue, just like when you used to, when you cut it off and you turned it back on, you knew it was going to be red. And it's still flushing out, and I've been on there, what was there? I've been on there about 3 months, something like that, four. Yeah, so it's very good.
And it doesn't look like you're going to recommend a budget change in for this.
No, there's not any budget change for this. It's just because we were able to plug everybody. We were able to plug everybody into a position on here that didn't.
All of these salaries, when you say non-exempt, means that they are subject to overtime.
It's all of our hourly people. That's everybody except me.
So these are not, these are not salaries.
That's correct.
These are prorated per hour, and if they have overtime, they're eligible for overtime, time and a half.
That's correct.
And it's only you and John that are salary?
And JD. JD's salary. Okay. And when we put JD in the house over there, we made him a salaried position.
So non-exempt basically summed up by they're eligible for overtime if they worked more than 40 hours per week.
That's right.
I make a motion we approve the non-exempt schedule that he's presenting.
So we have a motion second on County Water District non-exempt pay scale. And for the comment, if not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Tab 6
is, we'll do like last year, ask you guys to approve our holiday schedule early in the year so everybody knows, you know, what we've got coming up. It's still the same schedule that we've always used. We're still going by the county's holiday schedule, other than I've included that time between Christmas and New Year's on here. If y'all want to do that, we did it last year, and it went off without a hitch. I mean, we didn't have any problems at all. The employees really, really appreciate y'all doing that for them. And you know, the county had, it got really cold that week. The city had some problems from the freezing, but we didn't have any problems at all, did we? We didn't have any problems at all. We had guys on call ready to come in if need be, but didn't happen.
Have we ever had a meter freeze?
we've had customers' line freeze.
We've never
had a meter freeze here.
They were. I really wondered that. You know, I got down to 4 degrees.
Yeah, I did too.
And I was wondering about the meter, but that was down on the road.
Yes, sir.
But it didn't.
I left the cover off on the meter and it still didn't freeze. Yeah.
You know, our lines are all of our lines are 4 feet deep. Everything we do, we put in 4 foot of cover. So.
But the meters are
up there
on the ground.
Make a motion we accept the district's 2018 holiday schedule as presented.
I second.
I have a question. That's not the park. That's just the employees, correct?
That is just the employees. Now, we give the park Christmas Day off. One of the tests, those park employees are contractors, and one of the tests that Judy looks at, or that anybody's going to look at, is whether they're actually a position, an employee or a contractor. One of the IRS tests is, are you paying them for holidays? So I got to be careful about paying those park employees for holidays. Otherwise, they could be deemed that they were actually employees rather than contractors, and we want to maintain them that separation is them being true contractors, so that we can pay them a daily rate rather than as an employee. So yeah, I did give them the option. I told them we were going to be closed for that week, and I said we can shut the park for a week, but you're not going to get paid. And they chose to work rather than take off that week. I think those guys, they don't make much money. They kind of live on a shoestring. So it was important to them that they had, it was more important they had the income than that map.
At least they made the choice.
Yeah, they did have the choice.
And this, how they anyway approving is once in the back of the state, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You said it was a little different this time.
I think it is a little different than last year, just because I believe the way the holidays worked. There is one more day in that week that will be off. I think last year it was 3 days.
I think the way the
holidays fell last year, there were 3 days that we would have been working in there. And in 2018, I think there's 4 days that we would have been working in there. So it is a little bit different. There is one extra day in there in that week.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve the Sunbury County Water holiday schedule for 2018. Any further comment? Not all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Tab 7.
I've got annual contract. We're rebidding our annual extension contract right now. It's out for bid. It looks like, in the past we've only had local guys, when I say local, I mean Granbury, Stephenville, Glen Rose area bidding on this thing. But when we advertised it this year, somehow it got in the plant houses up in Dallas and Fort Worth area, and so we're getting more interest. I know we've got a contractor from Gatesville that looks like he's going to bid on it. A guy from Dallas has shown some interest, and a contractor from Fort Worth has shown some interest. So we may get more than the two or three bids that we've been getting. We'll see. I think we're receiving bids at the end of this month, and so we'll have to meet next month. Let you guys review those bids and award that contract for us.
And we have some leeway where we don't have to take necessarily the absolute lowest.
I'll look at the experience, and I'll call on some of the references. And yeah, if we deem that they're not a responsible bidder, yeah, we cannot take the absolute low bidder if we see a problem with them. But typically, when you bid it out like that, you're expected to take the low bidder unless there's a problem with them. But
yeah,
of course. Yeah. Okay. And that would be starting
when? That's going to start. It'll start right after the board meeting next month. Okay. As soon as you guys give us the approval, we'll sign a contract with them, and they'll start just as soon as they can gear up and get materials in here. Now, it's a short contract. We're trying to John wants to line this contract up with the end of our fiscal year, so we're going to run it from next month through September 30th, and then from now on, we're going to bid these out from fiscal year to fiscal year, so that
so we'll bid it in September and approve it October
right
next year.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got Ridview on here. We've talked about running an extension into Ridview for 3 or 4 years now, and I've met with their homeowners association three different times now, and we asked them to come up with a waiting list, and we had 10 or 12 people from Ridview on a waiting list. We were ready to do Ridview in December, and we went out and we called all the people in, and we did door hangers, and we sent out emails to them, and we still only have 3 people in Ridview that have signed up for water. And those 3 people really want it, and I'm afraid they're going to start complaining to you. They may already have. I know you've had some. Nearly everybody in here knows somebody in Ridgeview that's complained about not getting the water. But it's 2 miles of line, 2 miles of 6-inch line.
For 3 customers.
It's over $300,000 job. It's half of our annual extension budget, and it's just an awful lot of resource for us to commit for 3 customers, and we keep pushing them back and putting other jobs in front of them that are better jobs for us. But I just wanted to let you know, if anybody complains to you, why we're not doing Ridgeview. It's just it's a big project, and we can get anybody in here to sign up.
So we're not going to do Ridgeview at this time.
It's still right at the top of our list. Now we're to the point where we've got a commitment to go to Paluxy Estates, and I don't know if y'all know where Paluxy Estates is. It's
across the bridge.
It's across the bridge. When you pass David's over there, yeah. Back out to the right where Bob Summers lives. That's Paluxy Estates. It's not in the city limits. It looks like it's in the city limits, but it's actually outside the city limits in there. And they've got their own little water system in there, and it's not a very good one. There's a lot of iron in it. Last year, we started to do it last summer. When we got out there ready to do it, we found out that the city was getting ready to repave it. And we were a little bit late. I mean, we didn't have time to do it before their paving, so I meant the county. So we made an agreement with the county that we would do Paluxy Estates in the spring this year, and there's no right-of-ways over out there. I mean, it's yards all the way up to the street. The county's gonna let us run to the edge of the pavement. It's gonna make it easy for us. So we're gonna dig up the pavement and get our system in, and then the county's gonna come in and they're gonna repave the whole subdivision after we finish up. So it's a little bit of coordination between us and the county.
Which one of these on this list is it? Is it Summers Drive or?
Summers Drive.
It's a $47,000 project.
Yeah, it's not a big project. But it's going to be a messy project, and we've got to do it in the spring. So now we're to the point where we can't do Ridgeview if we wanted to, because we're committed to do Paluxy Estates. So we're going to Paluxy Estates now. If we get, you know, 8 or 10 of them Ridgeview folks in here signed up, then can we go to Ridgeview after? Yeah, we'll go to, at this point, if we get Ridgeview people signed up, we'll go to Ridgeview after Paluxy Estates. But it'll probably be this summer by the time we can get out there to Ridgeview.
I think there's no question we got to do Ridgeview, but I think we don't have enough on there where we don't have to blow the line down and waste water for 2 or 3 years.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I didn't say that a while ago. The problem with, another problem with doing Ridgeview, other than it being $100,000 per customer, is that much line, we end up wasting a lot of it.
And that could go on for years. We gotta have people signed up to do it.
Yeah, right.
If they don't care enough to come in and pay the $500, I agree with you, there's no sense in getting in a hurry to do it.
So that's where we're at on Ridgeview. But just want to let you know, if you get complaints from people at Ridgeview, it's just it's still not feasible until we get
people. And you're telling them we're prepared to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so, I had the people that, of course, I...
He moved, didn't he?
Yeah, they're not complaining. They're saying, well, when he came out there and broke, there's still just three that decided that they would. Right. So, I know two of them are certainly understanding. I don't know who the third one is.
Do we need to develop a ratio to how many customers per expenditure?
You know, if you look at this extension list that I've got in the packet, that's kind of what we go by.
At price per customer.
Yeah, the price per customer. If you look down there right now, we're out on 2010. It's at the very bottom of page 2. It's a $90,000 project that we have 4 people signed up. Now I'll say this, we announced to those people on 2010 that we were gonna jump out there and do their road, and in
2 days.
2 days, we had 4 people come in and sign up.
Yeah.
For that road. Within 2 or 3 days, we had 4 people come in and sign up. I mean, more people than we could get from Ridgeview to sign up in 4 months. So anyway, their price per customer is $22,500. And there's going to be a couple more sign up out there. So by the time we're done with this little extension on 2010, the cost is probably going to be $15,000 per customer, which is a pretty good number. And you can kind of look up there at all of them, and you can see we've been paying anywhere from you know, 6, 8, 10, all the way up to $40,000 per customer. But when we get much more than that, man, it's just, it doesn't seem like it's cost effective. But that's the, we look at everything that we've got proposed, Karen, and the one that seems, that looks like the best, the best cost per customer is where we're usually heading.
I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think, yeah, we're going to meet the customers. If we're committed to go to everybody in the county, it's right, but we're, but those that are, that wanted right then, the sheer numbers, I mean.
Right. Now, I'm gonna point something out to you. One of the guys out at, that at Ridgeview is complaining about what's that called, John? Okay. We did on the second page, kind of about 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 or 5 up from the bottom, you'll see fossil trails.
Yeah.
County Road 1023, fossil trails. There's 28 lots in there. It cost $121,000. And we got those lots for $4,000 per customer. Now there's not any houses.
That's right across the road.
That's right across the road. There's not any houses in there. That was the, and he said, y'all ran water in that subdivision, there's not anybody in there living. But when that builds out, they're not gonna have any wells in that subdivision. By running those lines in there, it was an existing subdivision that was there before we started selling water, so that qualified that subdivision for us to run the lines in it. So
everybody buys a lot, we got a customer.
We got a customer. So we're 5 years from now, we're gonna have 28 customers in there. We don't have any we don't have any today, but we're gonna have 28 customers in there. And they, and he's mad that we ran the water in that subdivision with no customers when we won't run water in his subdivision. But it's, I mean, his subdivision is gonna cost us $300,000 per customer, and this one's going to eventually cost us $4,000. That's why we made the decision to go into that subdivision.
It's very difficult to please everyone.
And also, whenever that subdivision, the guy that owned that subdivision, it was part of our deal with him when he sold us that lot for that pump station out there, and we promised him that we would get into that subdivision as quick as we could. Plus, it's just going to be a good deal for us.
Well, that's money in the bank.
It is money in the bank.
But this Ridgeview deal is not. We could run that there and never get anybody put that right.
I think that's all I've got. You've got all of your normal reports in there. I've got one handout that I was going to give you guys.
Just like a little bird.
You know,
got his mouth open.
Everybody comes out here, looks at the lake and says, man, that lake's getting low. You haven't had enough water. I kind of did an exhibit to explain to you where we're at water-wise. We're 4.5 feet low right now. It's been a dry year. We hadn't really got to pump. We hadn't got to pump since last spring.
Yeah.
It was down there far.
This chart you're looking at, that yellow circle in the middle, that's when we're full. 785 elevation is full. So you go, you're at 780 plus, you go over to 5. So when we're completely full, we have 4,118 acre feet in the lake. Right now, if you go to the left where it's orange, that's where we're at now. We're between those two numbers. We're between 3,300 acre feet and 3,400 acre feet. So we're really not, at 4.5 feet low, we're really not down that low. Mm-hmm. If we were to get down to that number where we're circled in red, we'd be 15 feet low, and that would be about half of our supply. We still have 2,100 acre feet. So we still got a lot of water out there.
How many gallons acre feet? 360,000, something like that?
Okay, 360,000 gallons.
Here's a number that we do know. How much did we use last year? 490 acre feet is what we.
So 500 acre feet.
500 acre feet is what we're using in
okay,
a year.
Okay, and so in a whole year.
Yeah, that's how much we're turning in for last year.
500 acre feet in a year. That gets us where we want to go. So you can figure out that if you're 15 feet long from where we are right now, of course you got evaporation, say evaporation double side, and you've got a year supply if you pump nothing for a year and you're still half full.
Right.
You got over a year supply.
Right. We got plenty of
we got more water than we ever
need. If you remember when we built it. And we're only licensed to sell 2,000 acre feet, no matter how much we're
right. Well, we're 25% of that now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But
we're long ways from that.
You're exactly right. I was just fixing to say that we're licensed to sell 2,000 acre feet per year, and right now we're selling about almost 500. So we're at a quarter of capacity.
Supply if the county had built out to the 2,000, and we've been we've been here a bunch. But we still are.
But we got tremendous buffers on here.
Even with the plant taking 300 gallons a day, 24/7.
Right.
We were concerned about, so we're
in great shape.
We're in good shape.
Yeah, because we already made it to that 100-year drought.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And right now, and we're serving pretty much everybody. We're serving the city, we're serving the plant, we're serving all of our rural customers, and we're still taking on new customers, but it's just adding, we're almost to 600 on rural customers, but it's adding, we're adding 100 customers a year, so we're not gonna really add a whole lot of customer base, but the water-wise, I mean, even if we went through this whole spring without
any
rain, it'd get ugly out here, but we'd still have plenty of water.
You had a little more usage in January than normally do, but that's kind of not normal.
Just yeah, customers every year. I saw that. I think it's just because it's such a dry January.
Yeah, you know, that's what I read. It's kind of normal when you have a dry
January.
You remember where we were in 2011? That was a big drought. That's the lowest we've been in 2011.
We got 7 feet low.
Seven. So
is that the year we got 7 feet? Yeah, we got 7 feet.
Now than we were in 11, so that just says.
Right. No,
we're. That's what we're using, we're selling for.
Now. We are.
11.
No, we're not. Ben, we're 4.5 feet low right now. Yeah. And then 11, I think we got down to 7 feet low. So we were a little lower then.
A little lower. So that just says what
the
consumption that we're down this because consumption is.
That's
so if we got in a 2011, again, we would, but we can't. I mean, it would still be adequate water.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we can get 15. We can get 15 feet low.
And I got 14 inches of rain for the full year.
It's dry.
Yeah.
Speaking of budget.
All right.
I left the house this morning. I'm crossing through the canteen.
Is that the gravel?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the island
out there. That's the gravel. You know, they had quarried rock on that hill over there, and there was no topsoil at all. It was just, rock. And we spread all that sand and gravel over there. It'll grow. As soon as we get some rain on it, it'll grow grass.
Elevation drop.
I make motion
to
adjourn.
Second.
Hey.
Motion, second to adjourn.
Before you yes. do that, I missed what Kim pointed out. I missed one thing on my inspection, on my general manager's report. We had our TCEQ, supposed to be annual inspection. They're so short staffed, they're only doing them every 3 days. So it's kind of a big deal. They looked at, they look at, huh?
3 years.
Okay. Every 3 years, yeah. They're only doing them every 3 years now. They came out a couple of weeks ago. They look at everything in our operation, and we came through without a single write-up. So and the guys did a good job getting everything cleaned up. And
thank you.
It's a tribute to you and your staff.
Well, thank you. So anyway, I wanted to report that. That's it.
A non-work report.
All right. Any further comment before we vote on this? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
And thank you.
Thank you.
I did.
We appreciate it very much.